everybody. Welcome to the first edition of the After Further Review podcast. I'm Pete Doherty, along with Eric Baranchek. Pete Doherty, I'm the Packers columnist for USA Today Network, Wisconsin, which includes the Green Bay Press Gazette and Milwaukee Journal. And Eric Baranchek is our resident X's and O's expert. Eric is from the Green Bay area, went to Ashwaubenon High School and played football at UW La Crosse. And he's been collaborating on the film review of Packers games, starting with Cliff Kristol back in the mid-2000s, the mid-aughts. And then I think it was 2014, after Cliff retired, I took over, and Eric and I have been doing the film review since then. And so this podcast is a complement to that, and we'll drop every Tuesday and be available at the same time that our column is. Eric, great to have you. And what do you say we dive right in?
Well, thanks a lot, Pete. I got to be honest with you. You said that there was going to be a podcast every week. You really think they're going to bring us back? Or is this just a one-time deal?
Well, it remains to be seen, but we'll give it a shot here. So we just got done. You know, we talked this afternoon for about an hour about the game and, you know, what we thought we should write. And I just got done. I just filed it a few minutes ago. Let's just start out real basic. What's your, do you have a big takeaway from the Packers 23-7 loss at Minnesota in this opener?
Yeah, I think, you know, looking back at it, I don't think it's anything that anybody was shocked that they did not win. I mean, I think we've all kind of expected them to come out flat and maybe not be 100% polished and ready to go. But my takeaway is, you know, they needed to run the ball more with Jones and Dillon. And I think probably the surprising part out of the whole thing is that rookie receiver Watson. I mean, he's a dynamic guy. He can run. You saw the first play of their offense where he dropped the pass, but he blew by two really good defenders. And to see that happen and you see a little bit of spark, I think they need to find a way to get the ball in his hands. Now, it may not be throw it. Maybe they got to hand it to him or pitch it to him, but they need the ball in his hands because he has an element to his game that nobody else on that football team has right now. There's nobody on that team that when the ball is in their hands that you're like a little bit shocked with. There's no shock and awe. I mean, Aaron Jones is going to make you miss and he's going to run by you a little bit. You better make sure that your helmet's on tight or A.J. Dillon's going to run you over, possibly take your head off in the process. But that spark, that what the heck is that kind of vibe, the only guy that I seen out there that has that is Christian Watson and his speed. And I, you know, my belief is A, run the ball a lot more than you have. They were successful at it, keep doing it, but more importantly, they got to get the ball in that kid's hand.
And Matt LaFleur talked about that today at his press conference. Let's hear what he had to say.
I'll put the offensive coordinator hat on for a second. When two of your best players are your running backs and they have 23 touches total, that's not good enough. So we need to get them the ball more, especially in the run game. I thought we were running the ball pretty efficiently. We had a couple of explosive runs. I thought our backs were just, I really loved how they competed. I mean, they were fighting for every inch out there. And shoot, even when you see like on that explosive pass to Bobby Tonyan, you can watch Aaron Jones on the fly motion, how he regathers and, you know, he's blocking downfield. So I love the energy and the effort they bring, you know, and certainly want to get them more involved in our offense and, quite frankly, take a little bit of pressure off everybody else.
You know, it's interesting, just for, you know, people to give a little peek behind the curtain here. So we talked, you know, right around noon or so, and LaFleur didn't have his press conference till about 3:30. And our plan was going to be almost solely, you know, they need to get the ball in the running back's hands more. That's the strength of their offense. It's much different than what Rodgers and LaFleur are used to, but they've just got to accept it that they've got to get the ball in those guys' hands. And then LaFleur answering like the first or second question of his press conference, basically makes that self-critique and, you know, takes a lot of the responsibility for the offensive performance by not getting the ball to those guys enough. And so we pivoted a little bit. We stayed with that theme, but then you and I changed gears a little bit and got more into the Watson thing. And we started talking about the San Francisco 49ers. And out of, you know, you take the Packers, the 49ers, the Rams, they're all running this the same offense, the Shanahan offense. And the 49ers are the truest running team of those three, and they use their receivers a lot. I mean, obviously, Deebo Samuel. And we're not saying Deebo Samuel, that Christian Watson is Deebo Samuel. But you think, and I, you know, as we talked, it made a lot of sense that there are ways to get Christian Watson the ball. He did that 7-yard reverse. It wasn't a huge play, but that was 7 easy yards they picked up there. And he looked, I remember they ran a couple of those with Valdez-Scantling over the years. And I thought Watson looked quicker and more explosive than Valdez-Scantling did on that play. So what kind of things are you thinking of besides throwing the ball to him? Because the timing in the passing game is just not going to be there for the first half of the season, right?
It may not be there at all this season. I mean, I think a lot of people, first of all, I mean, Rodgers wasn't in camp at all. So I don't think he's been in camp, but he hasn't been in OTAs. It doesn't done much during the summer. So I think some opportunities were missed there to develop some chemistry with their wide receivers. And then basically 3 of their top 4 wide receivers aren't on the football team anymore. So it's going to take a little bit of time. And, you know, like, you know, you and I have a lot of conversations in the off season and talking about where this team is at and where does it go. I mean, you and I both really talked about it a lot, saying that they need to look more like the San Francisco 49ers do. And with running the ball, I mean, I'm talking little things like shovel passes to the tight end that's streaking across the formation, orbit motion and pitching it or handing it off, or, you know, you saw the end arounds, you see reverses. I think there's going to be ways to get, you know, I don't know how many times a game you want to run Christian Watson in an A or a B gap, but, you know, you may have to do some of those things, as well as pound it with A.J. Dillon, and as well as being able to hit the outside zone plays with Aaron Jones. I think that how they get the ball into their playmakers' hands are going to be really important. And I think it's going to be harder for the quarterback and the head coach to be able to understand that this is where they are and this is where we're going to be, and they're going to be having itchy trigger finger and wanting to throw the ball. I mean, you got that 2-time reigning MVP standing back there. You're going to want to gunsling it. I get that.
But yeah, you think they'll follow through and do it, because the quarterback also has the power to change the play at the line of scrimmage.
Well, I mean, he's a super smart guy, and there is not anyone on the field that I'd want better than him running my offense. That's much is for certain. But you got to be able to check yourself and say, listen, where are we going to be more successful? How is 12 going to be able to make it on the field next week? It's great that he's on the field, but he's also got to be in the field next week. So some of the things that's going on with their offensive line currently, they got to run the ball or he's not going to be upright for too much longer. I mean, he took some shots on Sunday, so he needs to realize and understand that the longevity of this season, and for him to play in 17 games and the playoffs, he's got to get the ball out of his hands. And that's whether he's thrown it or he's handing the ball off. And that's a tough thing to do. I mean, he's a 2-time MVP, and we're asking him to hand the ball off 30 times a game. That's not an easy thing to do. But I think, you know, along with you, I think it's got to happen.
Yeah, the talent just isn't there at receiver. I mean, the talent is the two rookies, Dobbs and Watson. They're their most talented guys. Lazard is probably going to end up putting up, you know, pretty decent numbers, but he doesn't have the speed to scare defenses. You know, Randall Cobb just looked so small and basically old on that interception by Harrison Smith, you know, kind of a jump ball. I don't think they can look for Cobb to be, you know, making many plays. Christian or Sammy Watkins, and hard to know what kind of impact he's going to have. He didn't do all that much in camp, even though, you know, Rodgers has been talking him up the last week or so, saying how well he's practicing. So the talent is two running backs and two really young receivers. I'm thinking, so yeah, you wonder even if it's you know, how the chemistry will even be at the end of the year. But I'm thinking at least halfway through the season, it should be, you know, quite a bit better than it is now. I guess it just depends on how fast these two rookies grow. I don't know what can they do to speed that up.
Decrease the amount of reads that they have to make, and on their end, reduce the mental aspect of it. A lot of people don't realize how difficult it is for a rookie wide receiver to come in there. I think the three hardest positions to play as a rookie, obviously quarterback, I think offensive tackle, and wide receiver. There's a lot of different things that a wide receiver has to know. And for a rookie, when they come out of college, those guys are not, I don't care how smart they are or what offense they played in, nobody's offense that they played in college is anywhere remotely to what the reads and the decisions that they're going to have to make at the snap of the ball, prior to the snap and post snap. All those different reads with coverages and blitzing and hot zones. And oh, there's a blitz, so I got to make sure I have to be aware of what my surroundings are, not just the route that I have to run, because I might have the hot read and I might have to turn my post into a slant to pick up that behind that blitzing outside linebacker. There's a lot going on there. And for those guys to utilize not only their God-given abilities, but to be able to do what they need to do, all that needs to slow down. So the way for them to get them more and more opportunities that it's going to create that sense of chemistry is to scale it back. So it's putting them into crossing routes. No matter what, you're going to run a nine route, you're going to run a dig here, you know, and some of those things. But oh, by the way, if you are in the slot and your guy blitzes, okay, now you have to run a slant. So it's going to be bringing those guys along slowly. And you can do that in the running game and make the opportunities for them, because safeties and linebackers will bite on the run.
Yeah, plus they're playing with a quarterback who's used to, you know, doing a lot of orchestrating and changing at the line of scrimmage. In his post-game press conference yesterday, Aaron Rodgers said, you know, they're going to have to be tolerant and patient, but he also said, as the games add up, the tolerance and patience will diminish. So, I mean, they're looking for it. They're looking for it this year. Anything else, any other little tidbits from the game jump out at you after watching the tape?
I really like the way that, you know, that first round draft pick, Quay Walker, I really like him. I think he's going to be one of those guys, if he can stay healthy. He's going to be one of those guys where you look back and say, man, that was a defining moment when they drafted this guy, because I really like his explosion. I really like his top end speed, his ability to move laterally. And one of the things that I'm shocked at this point that we haven't seen, and I think we will this season, if not next season, is going to be A gap and B gap blitzes with Quay Walker. I just think he is too fast and he's too big, and he's got some tremendous length for him to not be able to blitz A, B gaps, or do some games with the defensive ends where he's going to be able to hit his C gap or even outside on the edge. I think there is some of that in his game yet. Maybe it's just not ready because he's got to, you know, figure out what's going on in front of them before they do that. But at some point this season, I expect to see him rushing the quarterback.
So the Packers probably, it sounds like they caught a break there, because he had to leave the game and never came back because of that shoulder injury. But from what LaFleur said today, the door is pretty open, pretty wide open to him playing next week. LaFleur suggested there's a decent chance Walker won't miss any games. And that guy needs to be on the field, and they, you know, to learn how to play, and they need him on the field because they need that talent out there. But we're about run out of time here, Eric, but we'll be back again next Tuesday. We're really glad, everybody, that you joined us for the first After Further Review podcast. There'll be 16 more. Maybe we'll do one on the bye week too. We'll have to see about that. Coming back from London, that'll be a rough one, Eric. We'll have to do that one late at night, so you may have to stay up past your bedtime when I get home from London. But anyway, we're really glad that everybody out there that you joined us for this, and look for us every Tuesday, and look for our column on Tuesday mornings too. And until next time, take care.
Thanks, Pete. Have a good night.
Now it's Geico's Motorcycle Rules of the Road. Avoid biking in the rain and never touch another person's bike.
Hey guys, look at these bikes. So shiny. Whoops. I'm gonna leave a note. Oh gosh, there's more.
And the rule to saving on motorcycle insurance is, in 15 minutes, Geico could save you 15% or more.